morning. It's so good to be back here. Last time I was here, I think it must have been in the holidays, because there was about half the congregation. So either revival has broken out, but it's great to be back with you. I just want to give you an update for some of those who don't know me. My name's Bill Richardson, Light of the World Prayer Center. And a very brief overview. We have a prayer center over on Smith Road at Living Hope Fellowship. We have roughly about 35 hours of prayer a week that goes on there. And it's non-denominational. So we have prayer sets for different things. We have prayer sets for Israel. We have prayer sets for young people. And people come from different denominations from all over the county, and they come to pray together. But a very quick update for you. We're just a small ministry, but we have recently launched a missionary, which is great. At the start of the year, our children's director, Katie Steele, came to the board, and Katie has always had a heart to see an adoption center in Bellingham, because currently there isn't one. And she's had been praying for this for about 12, 15 years, I would say. And as the first step of that, there's an organization called Love Life. Is anyone familiar with Love Life? Yeah, a couple of hands maybe. But so what Love Life does is that they have connections with churches and with pastors. And they try and educate those churches to be what's called a house of refuge. And it's for a woman who's going to have an abortion, that these churches might be a safe place for them, where they're not going to face either judgment or condemnation. And so she works very closely with the local pastors in the community. But the other arm of that is that she does a lot of sidewalk counseling down at Planned Parenthood. And these are for women and their husbands or partners who are away to have an abortion. And what she does is that she shares and ministers with these ladies who are often traumatized, and they think that this is their only feasible way. And she encourages them, no, there's other ways, like the Walking in Pregnancy Clinic. And there's ways that we can get your child adopted. And so at the start of the year, as a board, we said, okay, we're going to do 50-50. And we'll do 50% with Light of the World Prayer Center, 50% with Love Life. But it was clear, it was more like 70-30 towards Love Life. And at one point, Katie was working, I think, 70 hours a week. And I said, okay, look, you're doing two jobs here. But she really felt that the Lord was moving. And so as a board, just recently at our year-end celebration, we laid hands on her, we anointed her with oil in front of the congregation there, and we have sent her out as a missionary. And so 1st of January, there's a brand new ministry starting in Bellingham. Isn't that cool? And she said, boss, how do you feel about that? And I said, well, honestly, I'm gutted to lose you, but I'm excited for the kingdom. I'm excited for the kingdom. In Light of the World Prayer Center, we have a history of doing that. Some of you might know the ministry in Gedi, which is a ministry for sex trafficked women. That actually started in prayer at the Light of the World Center. Skookum Kids was another one. This is before my time. And Skookum Kids started in prayer at the Light of the World Prayer Center. And the last one is Pastor Ryan mentioned, you know, pastors praying for pastors. And Ryan and I have been praying together for 2 years now. And it's just such a much needed ministry in our community. And that started in Light of the World Prayer Center. Every quarter, there's a pastoral lunch for about 70, 80 pastors. It's amazing, you know. And so, that's just a little update. The problem with that is, though, I've been in the job for 2 years now, and I've had four admin assistants. I'm on my fourth admin assistant. I'm getting a bad name. Because what happens is the admin assistant comes and works for the Light of the World Prayer Center, and they get fired up and they end up serving full time in another mission or ministry. I'm like, thank you, Lord, but I need an admin assistant, you know? So very quick update there. But, you know, I just want to share today, as we enter into this festive season, and I really appreciated the elder sharing there about what the meaning of Christmas is, and it's about the birth of a Savior. And so in the passage that we're looking this morning is in Mary's song. It's in Luke 1, 46 to 55. But if you will stand with me, we're going to read a couple of passages just now. So I always think it's nice to stand when we read the Word of God. And the first one is this, in Luke 1, 30 to 33. And this is when the angel Gabriel visits Mary. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Shortly after that, Mary met with her cousin Elizabeth, and she responds in this glorious song to what the angel pronounced over her. Luke 1, 47 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has sacrificed those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Lord Jesus Christ, we declare this morning that you are the Son of the Most High. We declare, Jesus, at Northwest Baptist, that you are the Lord God Almighty. Jesus, that you are Savior. You are the risen, resurrected Savior of the world. And we give you praise and glory and honor and blessing and majesty and power to your name. Holy Spirit, I just pray for your anointing now as I share this message. But I also pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll open up the hearts and the minds of those in the congregation, that we can be challenged and encouraged from Scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So what I want to do just in these next few minutes is just share with you some of the things that have inspired Mary in this song, and some of the things that we can learn from as we enter into this Christmas season. And we've just had a fabulous time of worship, haven't we? It's so good to worship the Lord together. Thank you, Mark, Pastor Mark, and the team there for that. But that first point there, Mary worships the Lord God, her Savior. But it's not just rote words, you know, and there's a challenge for us in this. In fact, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord." So really what this is, that this is heartfelt worship. It's heartfelt, that it, literally from the core of her being, that she worships the Lord. And I want to share this with you folks. You know, it was recently that the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart to worship him
and not just do it as we do. Sometimes we take it for granted. We all know the songs when we come into church. And we can sing these songs just like they're rote words because we're kind of familiar with them. But we can lose that heart of worship. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of this. He said, for the church in America to celebrate the five gifts that I've given every church in America. And that's the gift of worship. It's the gift of the word. It's the gift of communion. It's the gift of prayer. And it's the gift of fellowship. And not to take these gifts for granted. In other parts of the world, right, that's just not the case. North Korea right now and Iran, there are tens of thousands of Christians locked up in jail. Some of them awaiting the death penalty. Many churches in India are getting persecuted right now. Churches getting burnt. Nigeria, off the scale. Roughly about 7-8 martyrs a day in Nigeria just now. And so sometimes, you know, let's not take these things for granted. But we thank God for the freedom that we have. And so the challenge is there for us when we come is to express our worship to the Lord, our heartfelt worship. I've got to say this. Yesterday, Sharon and I, we were up in Linden. I know some of you were there. I've spoken to you this morning. And Handel's Messiah was on. And it was a live presentation of Handel's Messiah. Oh, my goodness. I was blown away. And I found myself in tears, literally, during the Hallelujah chorus. And because that whole piece of music is all about the Savior. And it was that heartfelt worship. And it was ministered to not only by the scriptures that they read, but by the music there. Let's not make it rote. You know, and there's the challenge is there for us. You see, the thing is, and the reason for that is that Jesus is worthy of worship. You see, the Lamb of God came to earth, Emmanuel, God with us, and he shed his blood for your soul. Oh, which we just celebrated this morning. That God's plan of reconciliation involved the gift of his Son, whom he loved. And he willingly went to the cross, just as we were praying for communion there. I was reminded of Christ on his knees in Gethsemane. And his sweat drop of blood dropped on the ground because he was in anguish about the cup that he was about to drink. And he said, Father, if there's any way, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours. And he had a choice to get off his knees, didn't he? To go for the cross for you. And he did it. Because he loves you this morning. He is worthy of worship. Because of his love for us. Because of the way we are forgiven this morning. And in Revelation 5 and verse 9, it says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. And that is what, that sentiment is what Mary is expressing there in this song. Isn't it interesting? I kind of, you know, think about this, and here she is, and she's pregnant at this time. With the Savior inside her. It's an awesome thought, isn't it? She's worshiping God who's in her womb. I know. It's like, that's probably a message for another time. But, you know, she understands, and she understands Gabriel's message. You see, at that time in Israel, they were waiting for the Messiah. We know that all throughout Scripture. You know, do you remember when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well? And she says, oh, when Messiah comes, he's going to explain things to us. And even the Pharisees, they were waiting for the Messiah because they were wanting to be freed from Roman occupation. So there's this expectancy amongst the Jewish people there that Messiah was going to come. And it was every virgin's hope that it might be her. And yet, Mary has this joy and this, it she knows. You know, I mean, you don't get Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and it's now is the time. Now is the time for my son to come, Mary, and you're going to call him Jesus, and he's going to be great. She's got the Son of the Most High God in her womb. She realizes that the Messiah is coming very soon, in a matter of months for her. You know, and she knows he is worthy. Revelation 5, verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And that's what she does. So I would encourage you because, you know, why is your Savior worthy to you? Take a moment just to think what he's done for you and how he set you free. You know, for me, as I was preparing for this, man, he's the light in my darkness. He rescued me from darkness. And Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I'm experiencing that light of life. You know, and I want to worship him on account of that, on account that he's rescued me in the on account that I get to have a relationship with him and I can enter into that and love him, even as Savior. You know, I am yours and you are mine. I love you, Lord. I love you. All right. But why is he worthy? You see, the worship doesn't just stop on a Sunday. No, you carry it with you throughout the week. It's important to worship him because he is worthy of our worship. Amen? Amen. And that she also recognizes here that she is blessed. And as we enter into this season of abundance and materialism and comfort and Christmas spirit, it can be very easy to forget our blessings. We can take it for granted. But Mary says there, she says, you know, that he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. She recognizes her blessings come from the Lord. And I know for us as Americans, you know, we like to think, especially in the Pacific Northwest, right? We're pioneers. We're going to get it done, right? We're self-made. We're so independent and that we can do things on our own, you know. And I love that attitude. It's a bit, you know, like Scotland, you know what I mean? You know, but there can be a tendency there for self-reliance and not give thanks for what God has done in our life. And it's important for us to recognize in this season, not just in this season, but all the time, that our blessings come from the Lord God Almighty. Look at this morning. Count your blessings this morning. You've got a car to come here. You've got health and breath in your lungs to give glory to God. You've got, hopefully, got a warm house, unless your heating is broken, right? Hopefully you had breakfast when you came. Small things. But give thanks to God for them. I remember I was back in Scotland one time and I heard my pastor and he shared this sermon. And it was like, don't forget God in the brown paper bags. And the brown paper bags, you know, when you go to a grocery outlet on your everyday shopping. And it's basically you saying, don't forget God in the everyday things of life. But give thanks and be blessed to him. This happened last week. One of the ministries of Light of the World Prayer Center is that we pray around schools. Before I go there, actually, I just want to share from Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. I'll come back to that in a second. But in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul says this to the church in Philippi. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Notice that. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we forget to give thanks to our Father in heaven who's been so gracious to us. And this is a reminder here of the blessings that he's given us. One such blessing, and one of the ministries that we have, like the World Prayer Center, is that we take two schools every week in Whatcom County, and we go and pray around those schools. We have an education team. Tuesday, 4 o'clock, if you want to join us. And we pray for protection over those schools against school shootings, but we're also praying for the next generation, right? Because our young people are anxious, depressed, and suicidal. And we're praying for revival in these schools. And last week we were in the Sunnyland Elementary School. And we were praying around the school, and right next door there was a memorial park. Do you know where that is, Memorial Park? I didn't even know this, right? And so we went there. There's a slide coming up here. This is a slide of Memorial Park. And what you're looking at here, I don't know if you can pick this up on the screen, but there's different slabs of granite, and it recognizes the servicemen who, from Whatcom County, who have served in the Iraq War, the Gulf War, the Korean War, World War II, World War I, Vietnam War, and the different granite slabs there. You know, and we took a moment to pay our respects for the blessing of freedom that we have in the United States of America. You see, my dad was World War II. He got drafted when he was 18. He had bombs going off in his street, literally. Imagine that. Imagine that. He told me the story one time of a bomb came down. He got so close, it actually sucked his cap off. There was another time he heard a bomb coming down, and he opened the door, and the blast threw him all the way down the hallway. My grandfather was World War I. Had a horrendous time. Unbelievable casualty loss. But you know what? As we were there, I've had 51 years of peace in this nation and my own nation on account of these men who served. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of freedom in the United States of America. Thank you for the servicemen who are represented here, that I have the freedom, that I can have peace. Things like that, you know, we don't take it for granted. This morning we were in the prayer room and we were praying for Israel and Hamas and what's going on there. Horrendous, horrendous. Ukraine and Russia and different places around the world at war just now, and yet we have peace here, you know. Do you thank the Lord for that peace? It's a reminder. We need to move on. Okay. She also recognizes there who God is, that God is holy and mighty. In verse 49 there, and she says this, "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." He is the holy God of the world, the Lord God Almighty. And yet, as I was reading this, honestly, I was challenged by this. And if I Revelation 4, verse 8, and it says this, Mary recognizes who God is. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes in our nation right now. If you ask me what the biggest problem in the United States right now, I think we've lost the fear of the Lord. I think we've lost the fear of the Lord God Almighty, even in the church. I think we've lost the fear of the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Mary says this, that his mercy extends to those who fear him. I'm not talking about being afraid, but having a reverent fear of who God is in this nation, that he is the creator of the world, and that his Son, Jesus Christ, is King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Have we forgotten that, of who it is we worship? You know, sometimes I hear students and go and they say, oh yeah, Jesus, he's my homie. You know, I'm going, yeah, well, yeah, you know, it's true that Christ is closer than a brother, but man, he also created you. And he's holy. And he expects that from his children. Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. I share this with you, but about a year and a half ago, I was in 2 Chronicles 7, and it's the dedication of the temple there, of Solomon's temple, when the presence of God comes down. And you notice two things that happen. One is Israel are on their face. They can't enter because the presence of God is in the temple. The holiness, the awe of God is in the temple. But the second thing is they worship. I sense the Holy Spirit saying to me, Bill, that's where I want you. I want you on your knees before me to humble yourself before the Lord God Almighty, but also to worship me. And every day, that's where I start, on my knees. I don't say that in any kind of big-headed way. But what I'm saying there is I'm putting the right relationship first. He needs to be exalted. He must increase. I must decrease. And so as I humble myself there in confession of sin, I would encourage anybody to do that. Put him back on the throne of your life and take Bill Richardson and his selfishness off it. But it's that recognition of the holiness of God. Man, he holds your very breath. And he can take it away at a moment, you know. We should have a reverent fear of him. I was interesting this week, I was in Exodus, right? And when you read about Exodus, and there was probably, you know, estimates are roughly about maybe 1 million people were in Egypt. 600,000 men, but you also had the women and children, right? And when you look at that awesome power of God in the plagues and what he did to Egypt and how he, you know, the pillar of fire and the cloud and the parting of the Red Sea, and you go, oh God, you're awesome. You're awesome and you're holy. You see, he hasn't changed. And I love Mary's reverent fear. And I think we can learn from that. I think we can learn from that. You see, that awesomeness there is that he humbles the proud. 51 and 52 of that passage. And it says here is that his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. You know, we celebrate Jesus this morning as the risen, resurrected Savior. And as Christmas, we celebrate that time of the incarnation when he came into the world, where he humbled himself from heaven and he came to earth, Emmanuel, God with us, as a human being, humbled himself from heaven. And he came to serve. He was born and laid in a feeding trough amongst the animals. It's an amazing thought, that, isn't it? The creator of the world lying there in a feeding trough. It's not going to be like that when he comes again. He's coming back, not as a servant, but he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as the angel said, he's going to sit on David's throne and he will rule the nations. And by the way, that's a promise. It's going to come true. God has promised in the Bible for the return of his son. And God the Father alone knows the time right now. But trust me, he has a time in his calendar right now when the Son of God is going to return. God has it. God the Father knows that time. I think it's soon, personally. I really do. I think we're in the birth pangs of the end times. Having said that, that's my own personal opinion. But he isn't coming back as a servant. He's coming back as King of Kings. And he's your king. And by the way, he's on your side. If God is for us, who can be against us? Right? But he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19 and 15 and 16 says this, coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. This is what Mary was talking about there. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's awesome, isn't it? That's who we get to worship. That's who we get to serve. And as a reminder as well, you've also got God's heart in this passage for the poor. Mary recognizes that in her song. And she says here, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. And so you have this awesome, powerful God, and there's his return is coming again. But you've also got God's heart for the poor. That hasn't changed. And as Pastor Ryan shared earlier, you have an opportunity to get involved with God's heart. You know, I'd fully encourage you to get involved with the toy community store. What a great idea, by the way. I was so impressed with that, you know. But it's a reminder for us that God is merciful and helps the poor. Now, who are you helping this Christmas? Are we showing God's mercy to anyone? You know, we need to pray for opportunities in that. Because Christmas can come as a blur of festivity, of food, of present giving, of events, of parties. And yet God's heart hasn't changed. Right through Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, his heart was for the poor. Two main things. His heart is for the lost. It's why he sent his Savior. But his heart is for the poor. I was challenged by that. And I was thinking, okay, how am I helping the poor? In my comfort. It was challenging to me. If it's challenging to me, it should be challenging to us, all of us, right? Because I'll tell you right now is that what's going to happen in your toy store? It's great. It's an avenue for the gospel. There's going to be hurting people coming in downstairs who have got no hope of light or love in their life. There's going to be a prayer team down there, and they're going to pray into their brokenness and their pain, and they're going to get touched by the love of Christ. That's what's going to happen. You see, it's not about toys. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. I have come to what? Bind up the brokenhearted, to release the captive, to set the prisoner free." His ministry hasn't changed. His mission statement hasn't changed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Folks, get involved with that. You don't have to go very far to see the pain and the suffering that's in our community right now. We can be very aloof. Oh, that's somebody else's responsibility. I've done that. Oh, someone else is doing that. Let them take care of it. But his heart is for the poor. Mary knows that. I think the Holy Spirit's just speaking into that. Is that a challenge for you this morning? You know, I'd encourage you to look, get involved here in the church, maybe in the toy community. Is it 4 o'clock this afternoon? 4 o'clock here. There's an opportunity to pray there throughout this week. But there's other opportunities as well, locally, around the world. The world needs the light of the Savior, which he's placed in your life. So important. Through your love and through your compassion, you're going to win people to Christ. Share this with you. Actually, a recent story from Gaza. How are we doing for time? I forgot to look at the clock. Just press the trapdoor. You know, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Okay, we'll go for that. And so, but you can imagine, like, war-torn Gaza. I mean, it's obliterated. And there was believers had it on their heart to go in from Jerusalem and feed some kids in Gaza and share the gospel with them. Rocket science. They'd never heard about Christ before. This was on a Wednesday. That was about the only meal they were going to get. And they said, we're going to come back in on Sunday and we're going to feed you and then give them the gospel opportunity as well. Do you know that there's Gazans coming to faith right now because of the love of Christ? And they're bombed out poverty. And they're seeing it through God's people. Got a great story for you here. This is true. Because in my position, I get to hear about things locally, nationally, but also internationally. This is true. 2 weeks ago, there'd been some... You see, what happened was before, if you imagine this is Gaza, right? Before the border was secured, there was gaps in the border. And there was probably about 1,000 fighters coming in to join Hamas every day from all over the Arab world. About 1,000 coming in a day. And these Gazan believers and being very bold and talking about the word of God. And these two men came up and said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, we're talking about Jesus Christ. And we think that you should follow him because he's the way to true peace. And we're reading from the Bible. And they're like, tell us more about this. We've never heard about this. And so they shared with them from the gospel. And these men gave their lives to Christ right there and then. But you know what happened next? They take their jackets off. And they were actually wearing suicide vests. They're suicide bombers. They were literally going to go into Israel and blow themselves up and kill people. And through a loving act, it's amazing. Did God die for Hamas? Yes, he did. He did. And here they are, and they take them off. They literally took off these suicide bomber vests, laid them down, and said, from now on, we're going to follow Christ. What a testimony, you know. Amen. But that's it. You see, it's God's heart. It's for the lost and for the poor. And you can get involved with that ministry. I will say this, by the way. He's coming anyway. And he's going to do it with or without you. You see, the thing is, it's not a question of whether God's on the move. He's on the move in a way which is unprecedented. I mean, there are literally millions of Muslims coming to faith around the world right now. God's on the move in America. You might have heard of the Asbury outpouring of the Spirit there. A lot of people don't know this, but that actually spread to more than 200 college campuses around the United States of America. God's on the move here as well. The question isn't whether he's on the move or not, it's whether you're going to get involved in his ministry. Are we going to sit on the sideline, or are we going to get involved? He wants us to get involved. And that's what Mary's saying, that he remembers the poor there. Okay, I need to finish. So finally, as we think this, and she says there, Jesus, you know, that he is the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. Mary says this in verse 55, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham. What's she talking about there? So let me just say this, is that Mary would have been brought up in the Old Testament scriptures and the Old Testament promises. And the promise that she is referring to is actually in Genesis 22 in verse 17 to 18. Where God says to Abraham, and he says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations, Jew and Gentile, on earth will be blessed. Because you have obeyed me. That blessing was in her womb. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. He shed his blood for the nations. Amazing, isn't it? So I hope you're encouraged by Mary's song. I know I was, but also challenged as well. And as you walk out of here this morning, what are you going to do differently? Worship more? Give thanks more? Maybe get involved with the poor? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, we just declare that you are worthy of praise. We just thank you for this awesome scripture. And just what we can learn from Mary. Lord, I want to pray a blessing over the people here. Father, thank you for the saints at Northwest Baptist. Holy Spirit, I pray for every single person here, including myself. Will you fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit? I pray that we would have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Eyes to see as Jesus would see. Hands to care for the poor like he had compassion on them. Lord, will you bless us? We thank you, Lord, for the birth of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.